Okay, kids, chapter 18, the power of two, 2024. Very important lesson, the power of two. Anybody with kids knows the power of two. It can be good or not so good, the power of two. Hey, Dad, I'm going to go hang out with Bobby. Maybe not, right? Maybe not. Maybe we need to go hang out with Ralph and not Bobby, right? Open your Bibles to Proverbs 13:20, 1 Corinthians 15:33, or Proverbs 3:32. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character.
Whoa.
Hey, real dudes. Proverbs 3:32, for the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. You got to hang out with the right people. The power of two. Okay, now that we know bad company is not good. Okay, now that we know bad company is not good. The lone wolf approach never works either. Well, if I can't hang out with the right people, I'll just be by myself. That doesn't work either. Left alone, eventually a pack of wolves will eat you alive and take all your stuff. You're not protected when it's just you. There's a lot of good twos. However, that's what we focus on today. In the Noah and the Ark, take the animals two by two, two by two. When the Apostle Paul was knocked to the ground by Jesus, he was tended to by Ananias, God's helper, the power of two. In the care of Ananias, he woke up, his name changed from Saul to Paul, and no longer a Roman soldier. Paul the Apostle became the most prolific writer of the New Testament. Did Ananias do that? God brought the correct power of two. And, you know, when he was knocked on that horse, his name was Saul, and he was blinded. After Ananias tended to him, his sight returned. You get it? It's so great. That's what happens to us when we're born again. Our eyes can see, okay? Our eyes can see better, right? Man and wife, the power of two, as directed by the Bible. Man and wife as directed by the Bible. The Lord and the prophet Elijah. But you see, when we start talking about God as the power of two, Elijah knew the voice of God. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So, but we don't, the power of God as me and God. Yeah, be careful of that. How do you know it was God? I mean, we come up with some stupid ideas once in a while, and including our idea of what God is. Okay, Jesus and the woman at the well. Great. Power of two, Jesus and Lazarus. That's just to name a few. For me and you, there is alliance. Me and you. You and spouse. You and God. Well, let's talk about you and God. God is of the spirit realm, a divine God. I'm not divine. How do I know I've partnered with God? That's a tricky thing. That's why I wrote this chapter. The Bible says the devil can deceive even a believer. Especially a believer. 2 Corinthians 11:14. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Yeah, but in the meantime, they can mess you up and throw you off the path. What I got in this chapter? Question mark. What I got? Question mark. Add God to the relationship of two. You are and me are not of the spirit realm, so add God. If I can't do that, my power of two could go sideways very easily. In a marriage, the power of two is very real. Without God, that power can go sideways. So is it the power of three? Oh, come on. God is not a one thing or a one more thing. God is in everything. To add God is to invite the divine. My job is to add the divine to every relationship in my life. And I can only do that one relationship at a time. I can't have a relationship with 20 people at the same time. Get it? Try it. Try to have a personal relationship, an intimate thought with 20 people. Come on. There's also other power of two things in the world. Gunpowder and fire, chocolate and milk, air and water, politics and money, greed and Satan. It's evident that the power of two can be very good or not Very good. A horse and a buggy. Good idea. A gun and a robber. Not a good idea. The power of two is the study for this morning, remembering that my relationships need to be based in God. And that's hard to do in this world. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Woo! That's cool. 1 Corinthians 3:23. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to you. You want to bring all that to a relationship. There is power in two of things. Two horses, two dogs, both are better than one. Two rockets, two rifles. Well, two rockets is more firepower than two rifles. I hope you're on the right side. I had to get it in my head a long time ago that God is the quintessential power of two, behind two, the engine of two. But if God isn't in it, what is? Nothing good, I'll tell you. I did learn that the hard way. God is a spiritual being. I am not. A great deal of care is necessary when listening for the Lord. So how do I make God is the power, me and God, the power of two? Quit thinking like that. The power of two is me and you, add God. You and your wife, you and your spouse, add God. God's in everything. He's not an additional item. He's in everything, wrapped in everything. Wrap that relationship of two in God. The spiritual battle that the Bible talks about is a fight for your soul, won and lost in your mind. So God invented a few helpful tips, keys, if you will, to the kingdoms, to the, to the throne room. Keys to the throne room. He invented fellowship to help clarify God's position. Prayer to talk with the Lord and listen for his voice. The word to clarify his positions and directives to describe him. Well, what did the devil create to oppose prayer, fellowship, and the word? Deception. Greed. We talked about it earlier. You got to be sharp to tell the difference, man. You got to be sharp to tell the difference. I realized that I needed to pray. You know, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yeah, they think they're preaching God, and they're not. They're not. I worry about that all the time. And I realized that I needed to pray about my ideas, my thoughts, my actions, especially my actions before I did them. How often have I heard my clients tell me, I prayed about it, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God is opening doors for me in this, and he's not. It's not that. It's what they want to do. They just pray about it until God agrees with them. No, they don't. They just pray about it until the God they made up agrees with them. And do they pay the price? They pay the price. Discernment is the prayer of God to bring people into my life that matter. An additional set of testimony and experience. Someone who, quite frankly, will set me straight to remind me that there is a God and I'm not it. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Yeah, I got to remember that, right? Two cops are better than one, but not if one is drunk. Two believers are better than one, but not if one doesn't go to church anymore. Two scientists are better than one, but not if one doesn't believe in God. Adding God, the power of God, the engine behind everything against chaos, death, and destruction. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Get it? Two can defend themselves. What's the third strand? God, duh. God, an unbeatable element to a power of two. God is the invisible power of two, the glue. when coming against spiritual warfare, which is at the base of every single temptation and confrontation. Oh yeah, everything we come against. It's inspired by nothing good. But God is there. Proverbs 20:18, plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Don't come against something without wise counsel. Plans are established by counsel. Counsel and fellowship with God. You learn to hear the voice of God with prayer, fellowship, and the word. You learn the difference between the voice of God and anything else. War, I mentioned. Yeah, war against yourself and the devil, who will surely destroy all of us given the opportunity given to him by my own free will. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Oh God, I pray that that happens. He bothers me all the time. God keeps me safe all the time. Thank you, Jesus. But God's got to be, I got to be in it to win it, man. Two authentic believers are strong in spiritual warfare. What's spiritual warfare sound like? I want, so I get. Boom. I want, so I get. Rather than, I accept God gives me what I need, so I wait and pray and give thanks for what I have. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Dude, it's so simple. But you got to have the right people. Like I said, people with kids definitely know the power of two in the wrong way, right? Helen Keller said, alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. I wish the world would remember that about right now. That is the quintessential concept here, is the power of two goes both ways, good and not good. Not good in the power of two is stated in the following sentence. Not good in the power of two. When two dummies get together or one dummy sends a good person to the side, common sense is not so common and stupid is very expensive. Kids, it can kill you. Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What's that mean? It means when you know God is there, let's not be complacent about it. The path is confounding, isn't it? Life is confounding, inconvenient, challenging, uncomfortable. And still he walks with us. We make mistakes, still he walks with it. But don't press the issue. Complacency in God has no place in the power of two. Don't push it. You guys have been given so much. Don't push it. Don't validate bad behavior in the name of the Almighty just because it sounds good to you. I say the same thing to myself. I'm not saying it to you. I am the worst. I don't know why, God. I don't want to know why God came and pulled me out. I don't know. I don't want to know why. I'm just glad he did. Partner up with the right people who listen to Jesus so the Lord can use you to do more for kingdom work. Listen, if you're used by the Lord, you're alive. You're alive and you're going to stay alive if you're used by the Lord. You're bulletproof and invisible as long as the Lord is on your side. You're not going anywhere till he calls you. 2 Corinthians 2, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Amen. Don't you want to be on that team? Come on. Look, I'm going to tell you a little story. Little story. Turn on the fireplace. Get a nice warm cocoa. Hey, this little story. It's a great story. I love it. It's the road to Emmaus after the death of Jesus. It's one of the first encounters of the risen Christ. Two people. Remember, two people are walking on a path, the road to Emmaus. He, Jesus, is always available for clarification. Add Jesus. He's not another thing. He's the everything, man. Two guys walking along. Luke 24:13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself, keep in mind, he died. They just watched him die on the cross. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken." He was talking about the history. They should know all that. They could read it. The Old Testament, they knew it all. They knew that this would have been prophesied, and Jesus is reminding them. He's just reminding them how foolish you are and how slow to believe all the prophets that have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? I don't know what they were thinking. I guess they were like, "Yeah, I guess so. I don't know." Verse 27 goes on, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them lovingly." I can just see him saying, "Okay, dudes, remember? Remember beginning with Moses and all the prophets? He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Can you imagine? Sit down. "Dudes, listen up. Remember the good old days. Remember the stuff that was said. It's happening right now. Dig it." Verse 28 goes on. So they kept walking. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. They were going to stop and he was just going to keep going. But in verse 29, they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. What happened then? Oh, boomerang, boomeronymous, boomster, Luke 24. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Luke 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, Luke 24, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way. The two told what happened and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Ha! Wasn't that a great story? Hope you like the cocoa. Two men struck by the Lord, lit up in faith of the risen King. Wow. Chokes me up. The spirit realm is not for me or you at this point. We fight against such things from the world. We need the Lord. The power of two brothers is truly powerful. Wrapped in the spirit of the Lord, we are protected and we are strong in God's strength and his mercy, his strength, knowledge, and wisdom in God. Stay with those who are aware of such things and strive to know more every day. They strive to know more every day. Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Chapter 18, The Power of Two, 2024, your choice in battle. Who do you choose to walk the battle with? What relationships do you bring to the Lord? Amen, amen. John we got to get these people back to work.